At the beginning of the year, I wanted to start with a series of talks on essential spiritual practices, and I thought I'd pop them out 7 weeks in a row. So here we are the week after Easter with the last one on essential spiritual practices. We began on January 3rd by talking about prayer and how prayer is foundational to the unity, to the new thought way of being, and that prayer is not about begging or asking somebody or something, but it's about knowing the truth. The truth being that the one I love is already inside of me, and that there's nowhere to go, there's nothing, no one to ask favor from, but there's that to remember, there is that to realize. And the other practice we talked about after that, and January 10th, was a practice of meditation, of a way, any way you choose to be still and know all the important things that there are to know. That love is real and love abides and life is eternal. There aren't that many important things, just a couple. But meditation allows us to slow down and to get in touch with that reality. On the 17th, we talked about an essential practice of service, of a willingness to be more inclusive in our actions and our desires than we perhaps had been before. On Valentine's Day, we spoke about holy relationships. Most importantly, the relationship with the self of you, the capital S self, not the ego self, but the part of you that is forever, and that is real. In February, we also talked about lifelong learning and how important that is. I remember quoting Rabbi Akiba, who was the first century Talmudic rabbi, who said the purpose of life is to love God, love learning, and do good works. And that learning about more, about truth, about self, is always in order, and that we are continually unfolding in richer and greater ways. And today I want to talk about visioning as a final idea within this notion of what essential practices are, essential to a life lived according to spiritual practice. Not essential for, well, it's essential for everything. Let me put it that way. It's foundational work. That once we get in touch with the truth, the reality of the universe and our place in it, our relationship with the divine, then all else will be added unto us. Sound familiar? Perhaps. But if it doesn't start there, if it doesn't start within with this acknowledgement of ourselves as a dual being, animal powers and angelic perceptions, that is what it is to be human. If we don't start there, all our acquiring will be limited to merely getting stuff. And we will not be able to keep, at long last, all those things that we were chasing. Unless we have the consciousness of all the things that we hope to be, to achieve, to accomplish, to heal in our lifetime, unless we have the consciousness of that, we will not have the healing. And without the healing, there will be no transformation. And that's what we're here for. We're here to assist every one of us in the transformation of our lives, our life experience. And we do that by celebrating the promise of living and by teaching principle, by teaching the place of principle and practices that support its effective use. Gosh darn it, you know, very often I spend 4 or 5 days making notes and preparing for a talk, and then it comes Sunday and it's not the talk that I want to give. So you can see I usually use a mind map, and I start here and then I wind up back at 12 o'clock. But where I think I need to start is here, like at 10 o'clock. So I need to skip all of that stuff. Because, all righty then. Just go, right? And where I want to start, which is where I thought I was going to end, so let's see how this unfolds. In divine order, no doubt. Was with a quotation from a great 19th century architect, Daniel Burnham, who was a Chicago architect, worked with Stanford White and created a lot of what was the Chicago World's Fair in 1892, and built the Flatiron Building in New York, which was the first skyscraper in the world. But Daniel Burnham is also remembered for saying, make no small plans. They have no power to inspire. And for a very, very long time, that quotation was very motivating to me about make no small plans. Because, yes, arguably that they don't have the power to inspire other people. And I think when you talk about that kind of gusto about making big plans, you know, it's kind of a Napoleonic verve that you go, yes, I'm going to conquer the whole world, and yes, I'm going to do this. And so often in our work, we have visioning workshops where we beg each other to think wholer and higher than we ever had before. But I think we sort of short-circuit the process. We skip from where we are, from the way things are, to, yes, I'm going to have $100 million in my retirement account. And yes, I'm going to build a such and such and 100 schools. Well, you know, there are a few people that have done that, like Mother Teresa and Oprah. There are a few people that have done that. And that is what inspires us to think big and to dream big, glamorous, technicolor dreams. But those are really fantasies. Because the people that actually do wind up accomplishing a great deal don't set out with that construct in their mind. Neither Mother Teresa nor Oprah decided, you know, I may be a talk show host, but I'm going to build 100 schools, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to... You have a vision of the next best thing. And we cultivate the consciousness of what the next best thing is. And those big, glamorous, lottery-winning, technicolor fantasies will take care of themselves if we handle life skillfully, one step at a time. Not that I've paid any attention to Jenny Craig, Nutrisystem, or Weight Watchers, but I am very aware that they've changed their whole marketing and the way they position themselves now. And I don't know if you're aware of it, but, you know, I read Oprah. And, you know, all the marketing for weight loss systems now is about the next lower size. I'm going to lose one size. We've given up on this, well, I'm going to get it. You know, I may be 82 years old and 400 pounds overweight, but I'm going to get into a bikini by next summer. That was good for selling magazines for about 60 or 70 years, but that has not blessed anybody or been anyone's experience. But small steps, taken with great courage and vision, are the things that build consciousness or confidence, if you want to use that word, that say, yes, I can create a vision of the next best thing. And I know what step is mine to take. And when I do that, because this is a center for spiritual living, skillful living, that I know that there is some mystery that will, in the good way, aid and abet my efforts and assist me in meeting that. And once I have a continuous record of demonstration of success in creating a vision and achieving it, that's when my world gets bigger. Excuse me, I'm going to cough as well. Excuse me. then I have an ability to keep going with more confidence, which always means less fear, and with more energy, because I don't need to procrastinate anymore because I'm not afraid that I don't mean it. This is key stuff. If any of you do have a dream that is big, and as Bloody Mary says, you got to have a dream, or how are you going to have a dream come true? This is the point of visioning. But don't get stuck in fantasy. Fantasy is having ideas where there is no way that you can even participate in the creation of it. Put yourself in the center of what it is that you do hope for by seeing yourself there, by having that vision of whatever it may be that can be healed. I don't have a lot to say about this. The rest of it was too small. But what I do know about vision and visioning is that it's the only way to get unstuck if you're stuck. You've got to have a picture of what being unstuck looks like. You've got to have an idea. And pictures, the visioning thing itself, is creating some kind of image with your imagination that is compelling enough that it excites a feeling in you. And then our simple teaching takes hold. A thought, a vision, plus a feeling equals the thing. How the thing comes to pass, you're partly responsible for, and spirit makes up the difference. You may say, I'm not good at coming up with pictures. That may be true. Oddly enough, I'm not good at coming up with mental pictures of things. But when I see what the next best thing is somewhere else, I rip out that picture from a magazine. That's why I have a huge bulletin board in my office. It's almost as long as the office, because I need the pictures in front of me of what the future looks like so I do not forget what it is. This happens in small ways and in major ways, mysterious ways. But if I did not have a picture, an image, a vision of what literally this ministry looked like, literally what it looks like, the building, then we would be stuck in that boring loop of, well, what do you think we should do? Well, I don't know. What do you think we should do? Well, let's make a committee. What does the committee think we should do? Well, they're too afraid to make a decision. So what does the board think we should do? Well, we don't have any money, so we can't do anything. Somebody's got to be a grown-up and make a choice in life. And when I got here, I saw the new color palette recommended by Sunset Magazine, which is conservative, God knows, but trendy. And I ripped it out and I said, these are going to be the colors that we're going to paint the church in. Bada bing. It didn't occur to me. If you want to say Spirit met me halfway and gave me the color palette, okay, fine. Don't think that's not a part of visioning, because it's not mysterious or you don't have to light candles or look in a crystal ball. Of course it is. Whatever means work for you is your path towards seeing, creating the thought that you can then cultivate feelings around. And why this is a spiritual practice and not merely goal setting is because with all visions, for them to become reality, I have found there needs to be the spiritual component of inclusivity. Goal setting is the next step I want for me. Visioning is what is the next best thing. I can't wrap my head around the idea of expressions such as creating a world that works for all. I can barely keep my apartment clean. I mean, how do I create a world that works for everybody? But at my job and in my one-on-one relationships, I can experience a world that I could project might be working for everybody if everybody acted this way, or if I acted in accord with skillful, generous people. Every one of us can have a vision of work, the place where we show up to earn our daily bread, that is rooted in optimism, that is rooted in generosity, that holds the high thought about the people that we work with. And because we know at truth level that the beloved resides within everybody, questions of, you know, who's the boss are really immaterial in the last analysis. But there are ways of being radically inclusive in every phase of our life. And to create a vision of what that might be for you now is one of the great gifts that you can give yourself and the world. How would your life be better? I'm feeling moved. I can see Rob. Rob, would you come up and join me here? This is spontaneous and unrehearsed. But let's do a wee bit of visioning for a few moments to conclude this talk. Shall we do that? So you might, bless his heart, he's running. Can you hear that? You are Johnny on the spot. I didn't ask you. Would you accompany me? Do a wee bit of visioning here. So I do invite you to close your eyes so you don't see the band assuming their spots. And let's begin this visioning process right now by knowing the truth. And the truth of every one of us, if we are here today, is that you are blessed and your life is good. And no matter what might be going on in your life that has the appearance of lack or dis-ease, we have nothing to complain about. We are blessed with the gift of consciousness and breath and community. To the caravan that is the experience of life, you've said yes, that you will go and you will travel with others. And that journey takes forever. And now that we know that, what vision for your life could you add to that? What vision within your relationships would you like to have the healing thought about, the next highest, most inclusive thought about? Is being a grandparent an opportunity for you to be loved and, or is being a grandparent an opportunity to teach a child what unconditional love is? Whether you have an office job or not, is the work you do on this planet, as you see it, about getting your needs met? Or about letting your light shine? In regard to the miracle that is your body, Aren't you bored being disappointed with it? Calling it a bag of bones? Or even if you're young, fearing the future? Or can you actually have a picture of yourself that by 2% would be stronger, more vital than it might be this morning? If we make the envisioned choice first, in what we call our work, our needs will be met. We will know success. And if we choose to be love and teach love and kindness and generosity, then we will be loved and kind, for that is the law. And if we know health and think health and talk health and see health, we will know health. And at the end of every day, if we caravan that way, no doubt as we close our eyes, we will say, praise God, good is everywhere. I accept this with my whole heart and with every level of my being as an embodied next step everyone has taken together. Our work this week is sustaining the feeling of this vision in fulfillment and giving thanks in advance for an improved and transformed life. I say thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.